everybody, and welcome to Yachting International Radio. You are tuned in to Tailor Tech Stories. And today I have Corey Ranslam, who's the CEO of the International Maritime Security Associates, which we will now refer to as IMSA, which is a lot easier. But Corey, yeah. Please do introduce yourself and tell us what you do, and then we'll dive into your story.
Sure. Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate being on today with you. This is a lot of fun. I love doing these types of interviews because, you know, to me, the person's background story to get to know them is so cool. So thanks for the opportunity. As you said, I'm the CEO of IMSA. We started the company back in 2013 to really concentrate on helping vessels of all types, including large yachts, with regulatory compliance. And now we provide critical information through our armed software platform and cybersecurity. So there's a lot of really cool things that we're doing. Before that, I spent 8 years in the Coast Guard. So in total, between the public and private sector, been in maritime for about 26 years. And I'd have to say probably love every minute of it.
Good. I mean, you've got it, right? If you're in the industry, right. You better love it because it's a heck of a lot of time, 26 years. So
yeah.
Let's rewind. Let's go right from the beginning. And just from chatting just before, you were kind of like starting out, I had no idea I'd be in this space. And at this point, you're just kind of, well, I love this space and I can't imagine being anywhere else. So where have you kind of come from? Where do you start?
Sure. That's so I actually grew up in a city in the state of Iowa here in the United States, basically center of the country. The only water we had were lakes and rivers. Always enjoyed the water. I was a swimmer, water sports my whole life. Went to the ocean once when I was 2, don't really remember it. And you know, just went through my whole life looking at, hey, I want to be a part of news media and be part of radio and television. So I went to college for that. And started out working in radio and television and really liked it. And I remember it was like a Saturday afternoon. I was just flipping channels and I saw this really cool special. I think it was on the Discovery Channel about the U.S. Coast Guard and how, you know, they had these fast patrol boats and chasing down migrant smugglers and drug runners. And I was like, hold on a second. This looks like it'd just be total fun. So I was 24 years old. I quit my job and I basically just joined the U.S. Coast Guard and said, hey, I'm just going to go all in on and try this out. So I went to boot camp. I was one of the older people in my boot camp class, which is funny because most people were, you know, 18, 19, just out of high school. Went through boot camp and it was so funny. I wanted to be on one of the boats, on one of the cutters. So I got to my first duty assignment in Florida. I was on a Coast Guard cutter, and for the first entire day that I was on that boat, I threw up the entire day. I didn't go for 5 or 10 minutes without getting seasick. I was so seasick, and the first day was horrible. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing on the ocean? This sucks. I don't like boats anymore. I want to be a land guy. I just want to go home, and I was just so much dreading what, you know, this just major life decision. I've just committed to 4 years of this. And I'm like, I can't throw up enough in 4 years. I don't want to be a part of this. And so kind of late in the day, it was probably a good 12 or 14 hours. I finally started to feel better. The next day I woke up and I seemed to have my sea legs. And after that, I really loved it. I enjoyed the Coast Guard. I never got seasick after that. So I guess it was just, you know, my first time out, and just, you know, I actually ended up spending 8 years and working in the law enforcement side of it through 2 different boats, and then working with the tactical law enforcement teams all over the Caribbean, Central, South America, and human trafficking and drug smuggling. And it was such an exciting and amazing experience. And I completely 100% fell in love with the maritime industry. I didn't really know anything about it except that, you know, big cargo ships carried goods between ports. Didn't realize, you know, the extent of the large yacht industry and what that was all about and really anything about the cruise lines. So When I left the Coast Guard, I went to work for a large defense contractor in their ports, borders, Coast Guard, and kind of cruise operations, and really got exposed to a broader sense of the maritime industry, and just continued to fall in love with just the different aspects from the shipboard side to the shore side, the ports, marinas, and really got a better understanding of, you know, the industry and how everything worked. From there, I started my first maritime security company back in the early 2000s, where we really concentrated on providing people for facilities and helping them out. Sold that company off in 2013 when we started this company, to really concentrate on, you know, how can we help get better of what we call critical information to vessels at sea. One of the things that always frustrated me when I was in the Coast Guard is we would be working or getting ready to get into some big mission. And what's the intelligence? What's the information on what's going on? And we just really had a huge lack of kind of the big picture. And there were a lot of constraints in those days. It wasn't really easy to get email on board the boats. It was all through a high frequency data link that was not reliable. And I said, man, if the US Coast Guard is having this much trouble getting information, what do the cargo lines do? What do the large yachts do? What, you know, are cruise ships doing? And this was, you know, even before GMDSS and some of the information that vessels get through that. So I was always frustrated, like in today's society, we have to be able to look at how these boats get information. When you look at it, the incidents and accidents and deaths and the things that are taking place a lot of times was these guys just didn't have good information, whether it was weather information or, you know, civil information, or like today, the disease outbreak information, what's happening. So in 2014, we came up with the idea, still kind of based on this frustration, to develop a platform to be able to provide vessels, you know, with critical information while they're underway, to really fill that gap. So that was kind of my, you know, quick little blurb of my whole career, and kind of that I've always been a data and information guy. I think information is so important for us to do our jobs effectively on a day-to-day basis. And when you don't get that, to me, it's just frustrating, because now today, you know, advanced 20 plus years, we have the technology, we have the capability to be able to do that. So it's really helped us advance kind of our platform to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary of a pretty substantial career. I love that journey from kind of starting out and puking over the sides, but still going through and still loving it. And then you can see the progression as you build into what you do today. And this is a huge topic. Like I remember the Global Superyacht Forum in Amsterdam. It's now 2 years ago, because last year didn't happen. But there, a huge topic was this cybersecurity, and it was talking about this invisible threat. And actually, it's really high up there on the threat to these vessels. Security around somebody taking control of the boat or stealing information from these things. It's a huge pain point. But I also didn't realize that communications, especially on these large vessels, was just not as easy as it sounds. And so I can see you kind of problem solving there and how you've built a company around it. But so how does it work day to day for you now? So in terms of projects and yourself, how do you kind of work?
Sure. So number one, I don't have to worry about getting seasick anymore. I still go out on boats quite a bit, and I still have not gotten seasick anymore. And I actually love going out and getting on the water as much as I can, but not as much day to day, obviously, with that as I had before. But what we do is kind of multifaceted. So we've built a technology platform called ARMS, where we provide critical information on what's going on around vessels at sea, and it's all location specific. So the system gives them an alarm if there's something that's happening within their bubble, and they can set that. We've also now launched, because of IMO 2021, but also just the huge issues with cybersecurity, as you just mentioned, Ben, you know, cybersecurity attacks against the maritime industry and assets across the boards, whether it's cargo lines, cruise lines, large yachts, infrastructure in the maritime industry. Most security experts believe that's gone up 900%, probably just in the last year and a half. So it's something that is happening not only on a daily basis, but almost a minute and hour basis of, you know, the potential of attacks against maritime assets. So we said, hey, through our platform, let's build some cybersecurity tools to help vessels to be able to, number one, look at the vulnerabilities in their network, but also number two, once you do that and you work to secure the networks, you need to monitor that in real time to be able to say, okay, the threats are always changing, and we maintain a huge database of different, you know, hacks and threats and things all the time. And that database gets updated on a daily basis of what's happening. So it's pretty big task to be able to look at, especially on the maritime industry, because you're dealing with, you know, an asset, a vessel that's moving all over the world. So today I may be, you know, using my VSAT to communicate, but tomorrow I'm going to be near shore. So I'm going to be on a 4G or 5G link. And then next week I'm going to be in a marina, you know, in Monaco, and I'm going to be using the marina's network. So how do you put a protection scheme together to help the vessel, regardless of, you know, where their communication is pointing? And everybody has their little piece. So, you know, most VSAT providers have some sort of cybersecurity. Most 4G, 5G telephone providers have some type of cybersecurity. The marinas, not really as much from what we've seen. I can't speak for every marina. So it's like, how do you put a protection scheme together that's easy to use and manage, you know, for a large yacht or, again, cargo cruise line, wherever they go in the world? So that's one of the things that we've done, is to try to do that, is to put something together that doesn't add more to what the crew needs to do. Is hopefully it takes some of those duties away. So this is more of a managed service. And we don't do this alone. We have a phenomenal partner network that we work with partner companies all over the world, because you have to be able to, you know, help and service your clients. We have a 24/7 security operations center that operates here in the US, but sometimes you have to go out and visit the client. You have to get on board and help them. So we've got partners that we work with all over the world to provide, you know, assistance and tools, really regardless of the vessel's location. So it's we've really built a lot on what our original vision and dream was, to get information. But now cyber threats are such a big part of that, you know, critical information that a vessel needs to know. So we've advanced a lot just over probably the last 2 or 3 years with the increase in the cybersecurity threats.
Yeah, and with tech, it progresses so quickly, and these threats become bigger and more difficult to resolve each year. And so you have to keep up with that and keep on moving forward to be one step ahead of the game. To finish off, can we have some kind of story that's some kind of security threat that's taken place that your company or yourself may have resolved, maybe in the Coast Guards or in the IMSA? Does something, I'm putting you on the spot here, but something comes to mind, like, this actually happened?
That's a great question, because I'm trying to think about how to answer it from an IMSA perspective, because we're very highly confidential on, you know, the different types of threats and what we've done to mitigate, because we also don't want to open, you know, clients or potential clients up to something and say, oh, wow, the hacker saw the interview and they heard Corey say this. Oh, we didn't realize that was an exploit and how you helped someone there. I guess I can answer it generically, and I can always probably throw in maybe a little bit more exciting Coast Guard story or something after this, if you want. But one of the things that that we've helped a lot of our customers is how they manage their passwords. So about 3 or 4 years ago, we were getting on board a customer boat, and we needed to get access to their internal shipboard network. And they, for some reason, didn't know any of the passwords. So basically what our team did is they went and they just Googled the type of device, the default password, put the default password in. We were opened up to the vessel's entire network system. So I was like, and so I went to the captain, who's actually a really good friend of mine now. And I went to him and I'm like, hey, you guys probably want to go ahead and change off the default password because we just Googled it. And, you know, it was a kind of a funny story at the time because, you know, the threat level, you know, 4 years ago was much lower, perceived much lower than it was today. So, you know, that was one thing. Now, when we go on board with a client, is always the first thing we check is, hey, are the default passwords, have those things been changed? And, you know, that's kind of a funny first step, but we were like, this whole operation depends on us getting into their network and nobody knows how to do it. And our director of IT was there in development. He's like, oh, they've got so-and-so router. Let me Google and see what the password is. And he put it in and I'm like, oh, success. So that was kind of a funny story, but yeah. Hopefully I didn't give too much away.
I'd love to see some crew members now watching this going, oh God, we do that. We've got a job this afternoon. Let's go and change it. So thank you very much for coming on, Corey. You've been a brilliant guest, and best of luck with everything that's coming up for 2021 and beyond. I'm sure we'll see each other at boat shows and things once we're back to normal. But thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben. It will be great to see all of what I call my Zoom friends in person. Well, you know, once we hopefully normalize later this year. So thanks and best to you in 2021. Love the interview show and the format. It's absolutely outstanding. And I hope you're really successful with this.
All right. Thank you, Corey. Everybody, you've been listening to Taylor Tech Stories. Our guest today has been Corey from the IMSA. And we will see you again next week on the next episode of Taylor Tech Stories. Bye for now.